You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this William Hill Racing Podcast, looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined to look ahead to the action by the Racing Post's Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Not bad, thank you, Mark.
Good, man. Looking forward to the Breeders' Cup. You do a piece for us every year, and are you as excited this year as you normally are?
I am, yeah. I'm not wildly enthusiastic about global racing as a whole, apart from your Melbourne Cups and your real big ones, but the Breeders' Cup really does float my boat, and I've always done a lot of work on it for the weekend, and it's just a great meeting trends-wise as well. The trends just really stand up well, and it's just it really is a great betting fixture. There's so many different angles that are relative, and it's just it's 2 days that really does get my juices flowing, if you like.
Nice. For anybody who's listening for the first time or didn't tune in previous years, Alistair's going to talk us through the trends and form going into this year's Breeders' Cup. And with it being at Keeneland for the first time, did you have to consider your trends a bit more carefully this year round?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the normal strongholds are your Santa Anita's and Churchill Downs, and it makes it a lot easier. But in fairness, Keeneland is pretty much par for the course in terms of an American venue. It's tight. I think, sort of 7.5 furlong circumference. So very similar to Santa Anita, really, apart from the sprint course at Santa Anita, which is a lord unto itself. So Keeneland is, as I said, pretty much par for the course. It is the 11th venue to stage the self-proclaimed world championship of thoroughbred racing, of course, which it is not. It is basically just a North American championship, and any European interest is merely a bonus. But it's Keeneland is very similar to what you'd expect. The one difference this weekend, I guess, is the fact that they have had an extraordinary amount of rain over the last 2 or 3 days. So normally, on the turf tracks in America, if you look at the form, the relative form to all the turf races, it's basically lightning quick ground. So that does put a very different perspective on things. We could have done without all the rain, but they do tell me that it is a very, very fast drying track. If they literally get a dry day, I mean, they're calling it soft at the minute, but if we get a dry day, a dry Friday and a Friday night and Saturday morning, then it could easily be just on the easy side of good come the big day on Saturday.
And how does that work in the dirt race as well? Obviously, we don't have much experience with dirt form over here. Will that dry out as quickly as the turf? Because at the moment, it's sloppy, isn't it?
It's sloppy, yeah. The trouble with sloppy is that it's not so much handling the surface, it's handling the kickback. And that can be a big factor. So it does definitely create a huge grey area. I think, the Glen Eagles camp won't be enamoured by the fact that they've had so much rain, and when it's sloppy, you do want to be close to the pace, really, because you'd therefore avoid all the significant kickback, which is far more pronounced when the dirt is wet.
Yeah, the O'Briens must be cursing their luck a little bit for the last 4 months or so. There's just been a rain cloud following Glen Eagles around, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely. They thought the one place they'll get it is in America, and of course it's absolutely pelted down for 3 days. It's sort of, that horse has been not been the most fortunate, it has to be said.
Yeah.
But saying that, they can't complain. He's won 3 Group 1s this year, so it's not all doom and gloom.
No. Right, anything else you want to add, or should we get stuck into it?
Yeah, no, let's kick on, I think.
All right, we're going to go through the 4 big races on Friday night and then all of the good stuff on Saturday as well. So we start in the 7:30 UK time on Friday evening, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. It's a Grade 1 contest over a mile for the 2-year-olds. The market headed by Hit It A Bomb, who's 7-2, 9-2 for Simric, Aeroforce is 6-1, 7-1 for Shogun, Birchwood 8, 10s for Azar, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. So straight away, Alistair, a strong European challenge.
Indeed, yeah, very strong European challenge with the two horses at the top of the market. Simric, who is trained by John Gosden, of course, and has to be respected. I mean, he's got Group 1 form to his name, courtesy of that narrow defeat in the Jean Lucard at Longchamp on Arc Day. So he is a rock-solid contender. As regards the Ballydoyle horse, hit it a bomb. It's all about his potential, really. I mean, he only won a listed race last time, but he did so very easily. And the fact that Aidan O'Brien could probably have aimed, I don't know, a dozen at this race had he wanted to, the fact that this horse is being stepped up so markedly in class is a tip in itself in many regards. But the one I like is the best of the Americans, I believe, and that is Aeroforce, who cost a whopping $350,000 earlier this year as a two-year-old. He's unbeaten in both his runs. I mean, he was impressive enough on his debut, but then he gained what could be, I feel, significant course and distance experience in winning a Grade 3 last time. He did take the acceleration wasn't instant. He sort of took a while to pick up, but once he did, he was extremely impressive. I mean, he was very strong through the line, which I always like to see. And he won comfortably in the end. That was some performance from a horse who was poorly drawn. He was berthed wide that day, and I just think at 6-1, 13-2, he's far better value than the two European horses, I believe. So and that Bourbon Stakes is a Grade 3 event, as I said, at Keeneland, and it has been a good guide down the years. I just feel this Mark Cass trained youngster could be very good, and I expect him to be. I definitely think he's a better value bet than taking shorter, as I said, about the two European horses.
Aeroforce, Alistair's selection there then. In the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, that is 6-1 at the moment as well, so not too bad of a price either. Moving on to the 8-10 next on Friday evening. This is the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. It's obviously over a mile. I was going to give you the distance there. The market,
never,
yeah. The market headed by Liam's Map, who's 4-6. Lear is 13-2. 8-1 for Red Vine. Bradister is 12-1. Wicked Strong also 12s. 14s for Tappature. War Envoy 16-1 and 20s or bigger for the others. So no surprise here to see the US horses dominating the market there, and an odds-on favourite. What do you make of the 8-10, Alistair?
Yeah, Liam's Map, I think he looks a bit of a good thing. I mean, he's 4-6 for a reason. Believe me, this horse, if you go back a month, they were talking about him running in the Classic. He's that good, and he would not have been without, you know, a chance of giving the mighty American Pharaoh something to think about, you know, in the big race of the meeting. So the fact that they've elected for this easier opening is a massive hint in itself. And if this horse runs his race, then I just can't see how he's going to get beat. He's a horse that goes from the front, and the fact that Private Zone is not running, he's actually going for one of the sprints, and yet he was a late defection from the mile, is a massive boost to this horse's chance, because he would definitely have taken him on up front and has the ability to match strides with him. With him out of the equation, there could be a couple of spoilers lurking here, because the only way they can get this horse beat is literally by taking him on at the head of affairs and hope to soften him up. But I just think this horse is so good that, you know, he's got the ability to overcome whatever adversity is thrown at him on Friday night. And they can try and match strides with him, but I just think he's going to be far too classy. His sole defeat came two runs back at Saratoga when Mike Smith basically overdid it. He went too hard too early, and that is the one concern. That's the only way this horse can get beat, is if, A, Mike Smith just loses the plot and goes off too fast, which did happen two runs back, or he's taken on. But even if he's taken on, I don't think there's a horse in that field capable of actually taking him on for long enough. And provided, if he gets a soft lead, he is the biggest certainty of the meeting, without question. He just cannot lose. But as I said, I think he's so far superior to anything else in the field. Even if they tried to take him on, I just can't see them being good enough to do it for long enough. So at the end of the day, this is Liam's Maps to lose. It really is. And even at 4-6, you could say this horse should be a 1-2 chance. As I said, he could be running in the Classic over an extra 2 furlongs, and he would not be without hope of winning that. So it really is his to lose. If you were going to look to take him on with an each way, and, you know, within 1-2, there's clearly, or 4-6, I think you said, is clearly, you know, a good shape to the race from an each-way perspective. And Red Vine wouldn't be without hope. I mean, he should run into the frame at least. The likelihood of a good gallop will benefit this horse. He's a consistent type. He's always producing his best work late in the day. And if for some reason things didn't go to plan and there was a real hell for leather fight up front, then Red Vine could be the one to pick up the pieces. But I wouldn't be looking beyond the favourite here.
Strong vote for Liam's Map then in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. 4-6 at the head of the market. Red Vine, if you want to go each way, is 8-1. We've got the Young Fillies in action at 8.50. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, a grade one over a mile. And the market headed by Alice Springs, who's 7-2. 5-1 for Harmonise. Illuminate is 5-1. 6-1 for Catch a Glimpse. Nemeralia is 7-1. 12s for Sapphire Kitten and 16s or bigger. For the others, who'd you like in that one, Alistair?
Yeah, another strong European presence here. Illuminate, Alice Springs, Nemeralia, the Nasida filly. You know, they've all got chances. The concern with Illuminate would be the step up to a mile. I mean, she's not going beyond six so far. Does actually hold Alice Springs on Cheveley Park form. The Hannon filly was second. Alice Springs was fourth. But as I said, this is a big step up in trip for Illuminate. And Alice Springs has since come out and won a sales race over seven at Newmarket, was entitled to win that day, but did it well. And I would expect Alice Springs to come out on top here over a mile. But the one I like is Harmonise, who Todd Pletcher trains, won this race 5 years ago, so knows what it takes. And this daughter of Scat Daddy has won both starts since beaten on a debut. And you can basically build her chance on that victory here last time out in the Jessamine Stakes, which is always a good guide. She only won narrowly, but that really does not do her justice. You know, she overcame a number of negatives that day to win. She was slowly away. She was caught out wide for most of the trip. And yet, you know, I mean, you could say she did well to win at all. And, you know, she did it nicely and cosily in the end from Sapphire Kitten, who reopposes on Friday. And they pulled some five lengths clear of the remainder. So I think all in all, when you look back at that performance, it was pretty impressive. And I think Harmonise is the one to beat. I'd prefer her to Alice Springs.
Harmonise then the one to beat. 5-1 in the market at the time of recording this. And the final race we'll look at on the Friday evening is the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It's a fillies grade one on the dirt over a mile and one furlong. The market headed by Wedding Toast, who's 11-4. Sheer Drama 6-1. 7-1 for Ima Chatterbox. Got Lucky's 8s. 10s for Curalina and Stella Wind. Stop Charging Maria is also 10-1. And it's 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. One of the highlights on Friday night, Alistair, and quite an open and renewal as well.
Absolutely, yeah, this is the biggie on Friday, and you've hit the nail on the head. This is very open. The one I'm going to, I mean, Wedding Toast, I guess, is the place to start. You know, a rock solid favourite, has to be said, at 11-4, chasing a grade one hat trick and a four timer in all, of course, owned by Godolphin. Couldn't knock her claims whatsoever, but the one in such an open renewal, I'm going to take a chance on the three-year-old Stella Wind. Now, three-year-olds have won three of the last four renewals of this race, and I can't remember what price she said. I think she's in the region of 10-1, this John Sadler-trained filly, and she sort of crept in under the radar. They sort of dodged the eye-catching trials, if you like, and she comes here on the back of 2 months off, having skipped all potential prep races. I mean, that is a slight concern, but she's, you know, looked really good in lesser company, has to be said. And although she only won the Summertime Oaks by a nose, on another day she could have won that by five, six, seven or eight lengths. I mean, she was, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and yet she still prevailed. And then she enjoyed the perfect confidence booster with an easy win at Del Mar. As I said, this is a fairly tough assignment on the back of 2 months off, but she goes well fresh. I think that was always the plan to win some key races en route and then give her a break prior to the big day. And in what is a really open renewal, I think Stella Wind is quite interesting at double-digit odds.
Stella Wind, then, the interesting one for Alistair in that race. Stella Wind is 10-1 for the Distaff. So that's Alistair's thoughts for Friday night. If I were to ask you for a best bet for Friday evening, what would you go with?
Well, the most likely winner is Liam's Map. without a shadow of a doubt, but at 4-6, I'm not going to earn any medals by putting that one up. So I would go for Stella Wind. I just think she is a bit of an unknown quantity in that distaff, and you can get some odd results in it. And I like the way they've prepped her. I just think that this has been the target for a while, and she could be just be peaking at the right time. So I take Stella Wind to find the necessary improvement to cause a bit of a surprise.
So that's Friday evening's action. Then let's move on to Saturday. We've got plenty of Grade 1 action to look forward to on the big day. And the first of them is the 405, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, a Grade 1 over a mile. And the market headed by Songbird, who's 11-8. Rachel's Valentina is 7-2. 5-1 for Nickname. Tap to It is 7-1. 12s for Dothraki Queen, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Kick us off with a winner on the Saturday then, Alistair.
Yeah, I'm going to play a straight bat here. I think Songbird is, you know, the market's got this bang on. I mean, she's pretty short in the betting, but she's going to take a lot of beating. She's well clear, and I mean well clear, on the much-heralded Bayer speed figures. The victory that really cements her credentials is the one in the influential Chandelier Stakes last time out. And, I mean, she was so impressive that day. It's beyond belief. I mean, as I said, that Chandelier Stakes is traditionally a really good pointer to this race, and I don't think there's been many more impressive winners than Songbird, who could easily turn out to be even better than she's shown, because we just don't know how good this filly is. She's yet to be tested. She's never saw another rival in beating Landover Sea by 4.5 lengths, and there was no less than 10 lengths back to the remainder of the field who weren't slow coaches. If she replicates that form on Saturday, I don't say there's another filly in there who can beat her. And as I said, I think she was hardly tested. I mean, the potential is there for her to raise the bar even further. And Songbird, I mean, she's short enough, it has to be said, but she could be exceptional. The obvious danger is Rachel's Valentina, who herself is unbeaten, only had the couple of runs, perhaps significant that she's yet to race around two bends as well, so that can be a bit of a culture shock. She is a daughter of that multiple Grade 1 winner, Rachel Alexandra, so this horse is going to be well-backed, even purely on her pedigree. But as I said, the fact that she's racing around two bends for the first time is a concern, and especially when she's up against a filly of such exciting potential as Songbird. So I'm going to keep things simple here and go with Songbird.
Songbird to win the Juvenile Fillies then. Moving on to the 4:45 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a Grade 1 over 5.5 furlongs. The market headed by Undrafted, who's 2-1. Green Mask is 11-2 with Lady Shipman. Ready for Rye is 7-1. 10-1 for Bobby's Kitten. Pure Sensation 11s and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Undrafted for Wesley Ward is a horse that we've seen over here at Royal Ascot, and pretty solid favourite by the looks of things for this, Alistair.
Yeah, Ward's got a really strong hand there. He's got the front two in the market. We all know about Wesley Ward, obviously, through his Royal Ascot heroics in recent seasons, and this chap is some trainer. I mean, if you look at his runners at the Breeders' Cup meeting in 2014, they finished second, first, third, and second. And they include Never, who really should have won the Turf Sprint. So you can understand why Coolmore have horses with this chap. He really does know what he's doing. And he's got the front two in the market. I think Undrafted is the one to be with. There are potential negatives with this horse. You know, it can't be denied. For a start, this race is over 5.5 furlongs this year. Last year it was over 6.5. And he got beat then. And I don't think for one minute that the drop in distance is going to be a help to this horse. And secondly, they could have done without the rain. He's definitely a better horse on fast ground. But we do have to also bear in mind that he was beaten only 2 lengths in a good-to-soft renewal of the July Cup. And believe me, that is a far stronger race than what Saturday's Turf Sprint is going to be. This is not a strong renewal at all. And I just feel that they go absolutely lightning fast in the Turf Sprints in America. And I just think this horse can outclass them. Yes, he wants an extra furlong, ideally. And yes, he wants faster ground. But there's no question at all that Undrafted is the best horse in the race. And I think he'll take a lot of beating. So I'll take him to beat Green Mask, who is a very handy second string. He was last seen finishing second to Soul Power over the Bear Five at Maidan, so he's probably a quicker horse than undrafted, but given how this race is going to pan out and over the extra furlong, with him going over 5.5, I expect undrafted to just be that bit stronger in the finish. And you know, the fact that Green Mask hasn't been out since March isn't really a concern when he's trained by Wesley Ward, who was an absolute master at training one for the big day. And the third best would be Lady Shipman, but I think undrafted is the best horse in the race, and his class can prevail in what is not, at the end of the day, the strongest of renewals.
Undrafted, the selection then in the 4:45, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Moving on to the 5:25 next, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, a Grade 1 over 7 furlongs. The market headed by Lavadad, who's 9-2, 5-1 for Cavorting. Judy the Beauty, 6-1, 15-2 for Stonetastic. Super Majesty is 9-1, 10s for Taris, and 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. I wouldn't know very much about this race, Alistair, I'll admit it. So help us out in the 5:25.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the best starting point, she's not going to be the tip, but Judy the Beauty has got a really good record in this race. She won it last year, was second 12 months earlier, and I expect her to run well again. She was third over in an adequate trip at this venue last time out, which was a nice stepping stone to the day that really matters. So she's second best, but the one I like is at 10-1. And that is Taris, who has got strong European connections, trained, of course, by Simon Callaghan, who used to be based in Newmarket, and is owned by the Coolmore team. So, you know, I think Taris has been trained specifically for this race. The fact that she's 10-1 is purely because she was turned over odds on last time out. But believe me, that is probably one of the most bizarre races you will ever see. In a small field, three of the four actually all took each other on at an absolutely suicidal early speed duel, and the winner merely just sat behind and picked up the pieces late on. Forget that run. It is completely irrelevant to her chance on Saturday. She's far better judged on an impressive win in a handicap at Del Mar in August, in which she won by 9 lengths, and even a defeat at a course and distance victory on a previous visit to Keeneland 12 months ago. She was incredibly impressive that day. She recorded 2 Bayer speed figures on those 2 occasions that definitely give her a fighting chance on Saturday. So she's purely overpriced because she was turned over last time out, but that is a completely irrelevant piece of form. So I think Taris at 10-1 is quite interesting. As I said, it's a wide open renewal. I think you said they were betting 9-2 the field. And I think Taris could be quite interesting at 10-1 because, as I said, she's purely overpriced because of that, you know, that latest defeat, and you can literally put a line through that.
Nice. Potential bit of value there then in that race. The 6:10 is where we go next. The Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, for Grade 1 over a mile and 1.5 furlongs. Strong European challenge here. And Legatissimo heads it at 11-10. 13-2 for Miss France. Dasita is 12-1 with Secret Gesture. Stephanie's Kitten also 12s. 14s for Babuina and Queen's Jewel. Santiero Italia also 14-1. And 16s or bigger for the others. Is this a good chance for Europe here, Alistair?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, Europe don't have the, you'd think this would be a race they would dominate as a rule, because American middle distance fillies on turf are, you know, by all accounts, a fairly ordinary lot. It's never been a strength in American racing, and yet Europe has only won, what, 6 out of 16? You know, I think we should have won a lot more. I think we'll win this, absolutely. I've got no doubts whatsoever. This is definitely one of our banker races of the weekend. There's nothing not to like about Legatissimo, who is just the kind of filly you want for a race like this. You know, she's a 3-time Group 1 winner over the trip of a mile and a quarter. She's got the requisite speed to be, a lot of these turf races in America essentially turn into the sprints up the straight. They go a slow pace, quicken up, and that's why French horses have got such a good record at the Breeders' Cup on turf, because they're accustomed to how these races are run. Legatissimo has the speed and has the stamina to be, you know, to be a perfectly feasible winner of this, but she's 11-10, and I think that is very short given the quality of opposition. I mean, you've got Miss France and Secret Gesture for a start, who both boast extremely strong form credentials. The one I really like here is Miss France. I think she is, if I was going to have a bet at the Breeders' Cup meeting, then this filly would be it. And, you know, I mean, because Legatissimo is taking so much out of the market, you know, I think 13-2 about this filly is a really good each-way bet. Andre Farb, the filly's trainer, won this 14 years ago, of course, with Banks Hill. And this filly has not got a dissimilar profile, in that Banks Hill was going beyond a mile for the first time on that occasion and duly found significant improvement to win. Now, his 1,000 guineas winner of 2014 has the same sort of potential. She has competed over a mile and a quarter, but that was last year in the French Oaks, and she was only beaten a couple of lengths despite enduring an absolute nightmare run, was barely able to stretch her legs up the straight. So that, you know, piece of form is fairly irrelevant here. On another day, she could easily have won the French Oaks on that occasion. The one nagging doubt is that she's not been at her best so far this season, and in lesser company. She's twice been a beaten favourite, though last time out she was without question unsuited by having to make the running when just beaten by a very good horse called Impassable, who actually contests a mile on the same card and is a relative unknown quantity. Come Saturday night, we could say, and that was an absolutely wonderful effort by Miss France, given that she's not at her best when having to lead. I just feel that the step up in trip could trigger the necessary improvement on that form. She's related to four winners at a mile and a quarter and beyond. The Dam, Miss Tahiti, was a Group 1 winner at a mile, but did show high-class form over as far as a mile and a half. So I've got no doubt that Miss France is going to see out the trip, and if she does, you know, her proven ability at a mile is going to stand her in really good stead. And I think, you know, Miss France is an absolute cracking each-way alternative to Legatissimo. I mean, I mentioned Secret Gesture clearly has to enter the equation after finishing first past the post in the Beverly D at Arlington, was demoted back into third that day, rather unfortunately. They've booked a local jockey. But she's only got a strike rate of 4 from 15. Yes, she's a good filly, but I think at this standard, you do want a better strike rate than that, and I can just see her getting placed at best. So for me, it's Miss France to floor the worthy favourite, Legatissimo.
Miss France, and the selection for Alistair in what should be a good race for the European Raiders. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint next, a Grade 1 contest on the dirt. It's over 6 furlongs, and the market's headed by Private Zone, who's 11-4, 3-1 for Run Happy. Wild Dude is 8-1, 9-1 for Masochistic. Salutos Amigos is 12-1 with Stallwalking Dude. And 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. This one, if in stark contrast to the last one, all about the American runners.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I mentioned Private Zone earlier. They were going to run that in the mile. They've decided to come back to 6 for the dirt, which is a bit of a surprise. I mean, this horse is very one-dimensional in that it has to lead, has to go from the front. And I've got no question he's a better horse at 7 furlongs when he's allowed to boss his field off less brutal fractions. What I think will happen here is a lot of early pace, and I just can't see them giving Private Zone any freedom, you know, towards the head of affairs. And I think this could be run to suit one of the closers. And the one I like is Run Happy, who is a progressive sprinter, peaking at the right time. He's only a 3-year-old. 3-year-olds definitely hold their own in this race. And he registered a recent bare speed figure of 1.13 when defying a wide box and running away with a Grade 1 at King's Bishop at Saratoga. And then after that, he just had the perfect preparation in winning the Phoenix Stakes at this track pretty much as he liked. He does have a tendency to break slowly, this horse, but as I said, I'm not overly concerned by that, because there is definitely going to be a contested pace up front, and I expect Run Happy to be doing his best work late. And if the leaders stop, which I expect them to do, you know, I fancy him to pick up the pieces and prevail.
Moving on to some of the real good stuff now. The 7:30 is the Breeders' Cup Mile. The market headed by Esoterique and Make Believe, Andre Farb's pair, are 7-2 joint favourites. 11-2 for Time Test. Impassable is 6s. 10-1 for Tepin, and 12s or bigger for the others. Obviously quite a strong hand there for Andre Farb. I was interested to see your thoughts on, or to hear your thoughts on time test as well, because the ground probably could be a concern for him. And either way, it's going to be a very strong European challenge.
Yeah, you'd be disappointed if we don't win this. To be honest with you, when I did the this race at the start of the week, I actually tipped time test, because I just think this is a really good horse waiting to explode, you know, on the big stage. But if they must be ruining their luck, because the one thing this horse doesn't want is easy ground, and you know, the sun could come out, but there's no way he's going to get his conditions. The ground was good at Newmarket last time, and they even said that was dead enough for him, which is a shame, because we haven't, the Brits haven't won their mile since 1994, and Barathea, which is mind-blowingly modest record considering the, you know, the strength that we have in this division. But we haven't, and time test, I don't think, is going to stop the rot, because not only is the ground against him, he's also drawn in stall 12. As I said, conditions will dry out, but I don't think they're going to dry out quick enough to save time test, and I expect him to be placed at best, which is a shame. But, I mean, Roger Charlton thinks the world of this horse. He thinks he's going to scale greater heights than Al-Kazim, ultimately, and that could well be the case, but I think, you know, it's going to be next year now, because he's got a lot to overcome on Saturday, and when the opposition is that good, you know, he needs everything in his favour.
All right, so where do you go as a selection then?
Well, it's no coincidence that the French have won the mile on no less than 10 occasions. You know, as we touched on earlier, they are accustomed to how these American races pan out on turf. Tactical speed is an essential attribute, as is the ability to quicken in the sprint finish. And I think André Farb, as the market would suggest, holds a really strong hand. And, you know, I think make-believe is a bit of a good thing here. He absolutely oozed class in winning the Prix de la Forêt on Arc Day. Absolutely ran away with that race over 7 furlongs on his first start since June. You know, they reckoned he might have needed it on that occasion. So he broke the track record. He beat, you know, he made a really high-class horse in Lamarto look pretty ordinary. And in, you know, lowering the course record over 7 furlongs on Arc Day when he was perhaps in need of the run was an absolute Herculean performance. And I think he's very much the one to be with. The stable has a very good second string, or you could argue, I mean, in some cases they think it's the first string, in Ezra Tariq. Developed into a really likeable mare, this horse. And clearly has strong form credentials, given that she was not beaten all that far by, you know, Solo and Muhara earlier in the season. She then registered a Group 1 double at a mile in the Jacques Le Mawar and the Sun Chariot Stakes. I just think if you look at this horse's overall profile, the Group 1 victories that she has secured, there's not quite been a genuine top-notcher in there. And I think in make-believe, there could be a, you know, a real, really good miler that she has to beat. And if you look at her overall profile, I think she's vulnerable to a horse of that ability. So I think make-believe is the one to beat. I think Ezra Tariq will be the danger with the ground going against time test. And also, the other horse you've got to stand make a case for is last year's winner, Cara Conti, a Group 1 winner, on 3 occasions, was really impressive in this race 12 months ago, but the ground was very quick that day, and that is the key to this horse. Well beaten on, you know, soft ground in just 2 runs back home in France this season. This has clearly been the plan, but unfortunately for him, the ground is not going to be sufficiently quick for him to show his best form. And the other one, to mention a fellow French horse, and that would be Impassable, who we mentioned earlier, does lack experience at the highest level, which is a negative from a trends perspective. But she just could be, if there's going to be a shock, then Impassable could be the one to provide it. But for me, I won't be looking beyond make-believe.
Make-believe the selection in the Breeders' Cup Mile then, Farrell Alistair. Moving on to the 8-10 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a grade one on the dirt over a mile, and plenty of in-form runners here. Greenpoint Crusader heads the market at 4-1, 9-2 for Brody's Cause and Nyquist. Exaggerator is 8-1, Swipe 11s, 12s for Cocked and Loaded, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who would you recommend in there?
Brody's Cause for me, has come a long way in a short space of time. This horse was only 8th on debut. I think you'd have got massive odds about him being a Breeders' Cup winner after that. But he was mightily impressive last time out in the Grade 1 Futurity over the course and distance. That was, what, 4 weeks ago. We beat a couple of horses that will be reopposing on Saturday in Exaggerator and Rated R Superior. Brody's Cause was well held up off the pace, but if you look at the VT, this horse was incredibly impressive the way he made up the ground up the home straight. He found a sustained burst that swept him past Exaggerator late on. And the second horse is a really solid yardstick who had more experience on the day, was bidding for a third successive victory. So there's nothing to knock about that form. Brodie's Cause only won by a length, but that margin was increasing by the line at a, you know, a rapid rate. And given that this race is likely to pan out in a similar fashion, I think Brodie's Cause will be the one to beat.
Brodie's Cause, the one to beat in that one. Then moving on to the penultimate race of the evening, it's a pretty big one to look forward to as well. The Breeders' Cup Turf, it's at 8.50 UK time. It's over a mile and a half, and the market headed by Golden Horn, who's 4-9, 72 for Found. The Pizza Man is 12-1, 16s for Big Blue Kitten, Slumber 25s with Twilight Eclipse, and 33-1 on bigger prices for the others. All the interest over here, I imagine, will be surrounding Golden Horn Swan Song. Will it be a winning one, Alistair?
Let's hope so. I think he's short enough, I do, because the ground isn't a massive concern. I mean, I think, you know, unless it's genuinely soft on the day, and by all accounts, they don't expect it to be. They expect it to be on the easy side of good with a couple of dry days forecast. I think he'll get away with the ground. The concern, obviously, is that no ARC winner has ever won at the Breeders' Cup meeting. And some have tried, you know. Dylan Thomas was the last to attempt the feat. He came up a long way short in 2007, and he was short enough at 6-5. Sarki would have come closest, I guess, when he only lost out by a whisker, didn't he, in that memorable renewal of the Classic. But of the five ARC winners to have run in the turf, only Trampolino was able to make the frame. And, of course, Dancing Brave was the highest profile failure. So the stats don't bode great, it must be said, for Golden Horn, but you know, the way this horse has held his form throughout the season, he just seems he's got a wonderful constitution, and you know, John Gosden is just an absolute master. I think if he didn't get any sort of signs at home that this horse wasn't capable of producing his best, then I think they'd have drew stumps. So and the ARC, as a rule, is a good guide to this race, you know, to the Breeders' Cup as a whole. I mean, seven of our 13 turf winners in the last 19 years actually ran in the ARC. The winner hasn't got the best of records, but as a race, you know, the ARC has been significant down the years. And if Golden Horn can hold his form one more time, then he's going to win, because the Americans have not got the talent to beat him. And the only horse I can see giving him a race, and she is a danger, it has to be said, is Found, who, you know, on the Leopardstown clash, you know, she was only a length behind Golden Horn. Admittedly, he was erratic that day in the finish and probably won with a little more in hand, but Found didn't get the best of breaks herself, and this filly deserves a break. And the other thing to bear in mind is that Aidan O'Brien has got a really good record in this race with three-year-olds. He's only won three from the classic generation. Two have won, and the other one was beaten only a neck. So that is a big pointer to Found's claims on Saturday evening. As I said, she got to within a length of an erratic Golden Horn at Leopardstown, and on that form, she's fully entitled to give him a race. Things have not gone her way at all since. Obviously, in the ARC, she was down the field, but got no luck in running at all. And on another day, she could have easily have won the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Was last turning in, and found trouble up the straight on a couple of occasions, finished well. On another day, I think she'd have won that race. So she won't mind the ground, whatever it is, whether it's good or soft. And even though Golden Horn is the most likely winner, I think if I was going to have a bet in this race, I'd be backing Found each way, because I can't see how she's going to be out of the places. So Golden Horn is the most likely winner, and I really hope that he can sign off in style. But I do think Found each way is a rock-solid alternative.
Yeah, I was speaking to the William Hill traders yesterday as well, and they were saying that obviously quite a lot of interest in Golden Horn. He was a popular favourite, but all of the each-way bets seem to be on Found, so a lot of people think the same way.
I just don't know if she can be out the frame. I mean, the only one negative is that obviously it's very late in the season, and she has had two very quick runs,
yeah.
you know, in the Arc, Anna Asker, and now the Breeders' Cup. But she hasn't had hard races. I mean, she was, you know, she travelled well, and you know, she only, you know, in the Arc, she had no run at all. Vitsi would have taken very little out of her. And Asker, you know, she travelled supremely well for much of it, just quickened up the last couple of furlongs. So I don't think she, you know, she wasn't running through her eyeballs, if you like. So hopefully she'll hold her form. And if she does, then she's a big threat.
And on to the big finale next, and the 9:35 at Keeneland is the Breeders' Cup Classic, a grade one over a mile and a quarter. The market headed by Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh, who's 11-8, 4-1 for Beholder. Honor Code is 8-1 with Tonalist, 9-1 for Keen Ice. Frosted 12s and 14s for Glen Eagles. Smooth Roller another at 14s and 66-1 or bigger prices for the other two. We'll start with American Pharaoh, Alistair. Obviously, first horse to win the Triple Crown in a very long time. The Travers Stakes, though, they call Saratoga the graveyard of champions, and that proved to be the case for American Pharaoh. So does he bounce back here?
Well, it's going to it's a big ask, isn't it? I mean, Bob Baffert hinted at retirement in the aftermath of that defeat, and some training feat, you know, should he get his stable star back to the absolute peak of his powers, not only on the back of that shock defeat, but also on the back of what has been a really, really arduous campaign. I mean, it's asking a hell of a lot of this horse, but he could be good enough. I mean, he's the first ever Triple Crown winner to grace the Breeders' Cup. You know, his presence does add a huge amount to what is without question the highlight of the meeting. I mean, he was, they sort of, you know, Saratoga, as you said, it did live up to its billing as the graveyard of champions. I mean, he was the latest high-profile victim to fall prey there when beaten by the 12-1 chance Keen Ice. They were out to get him in that race. I mean, Frosted eyeballed him from a long, long way out. The one I'm going to put forward here is Frosted, who's 12-1, and he's purely a value angle, I believe, at those sort of odds. Because, yes, he's relying on American Pharaoh being off his game. He's finished behind the Mighty Horse three times already. But they both went very hard in the Travers, and yet Frosted was only beaten two lengths. You know, he had every right to fall through the back of the telly, and he didn't. He was only a couple of lengths behind American Pharaoh, and those are not normally his tactics. It was surprising to see them ride him so positively. You know, as a rule, he's held up. American Pharaoh is fairly one-dimensional, and in that he has to be up there or thereabouts. And I don't believe for one minute that the only way they can get American Pharaoh beat is, well, two ways. A, that he's not the horse he was, or B, that they keep him honest up front. And I can't believe they're going to let him have his own way, because if they do, then the chances are this race is as good as over. The one I think most likely to be the spoiler is a horse called Smooth Roller, who would be roughly the outsider of the field. I mean, he's no slouch. I mean, he didn't win the best Awesome Again Stakes last time out, but that is traditionally a strong race. So he's got the ability, and again, he's a front runner, he's got the ability to make things difficult for the likely favourite, American Pharaoh. And if they do, and Frosted is ridden more patiently, which is usually the case, then given he was only beaten a couple of lengths in the Travers, I think Frosted is still possibly improving. And, you know, I'm taking a guess, basically, how this race is going to unfold. And if it unfolds as I expect it to, then I think Frosted is overpriced at 12-1. So he is going to be the call. Keen Ice can't be ruled out, but at the end of the day, he was a lucky winner of the Travers. I mean, American Pharaoh and Frosted basically softened one another up and exposed themselves to, you know, to Keen Ice's strong finish. I doubt that will happen again, so I can't see Keen Ice beating either American Pharaoh or Frosted, in truth. And I just think Frosted at 12-1 is a really interesting each-way alternative to American Pharaoh. You know, a large part of me and a large part of everyone else will hope that American Pharaoh can sign off, you know, in the manner he deserves to, but you've got to, you know, your head has to rule your heart when it comes to betting, and I think Frosted is the call at 12-1.
All right.
I suppose we have to touch on Glen Eagles.
You read my mind. I was going to say we probably should mention Glen Eagles. Where do you see him fitting into this?
I expect him to be finishing nowhere. I just can't see it. I mean, it's a new experience. It's a new trip. Whichever way you look at it at Asker, the ground wasn't that bad at Asker, and he just looked very flat. I mean, you know, they came out afterwards and said he needed the run and it was a prep race for the Breeders' Cup. Okay, but it would be, I'd probably be Aidan O'Brien's finest ever hour, and that is saying something. Should this horse win the Breeders' Cup Classic on his first time on the surface and only his second run since June on the back of a defeat, everything is against him. You know, he could have done without the rain. For me, he's the first you cross off the list. I hope I'm proved wrong because I think it's it adds considerable interest to the race. You know, and Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore gang are clearly determined to win this race. But I just think Gleneagles, they're asking too much of him. Not for me.
It'd be interesting to understand Aidan O'Brien's thought process here, because they could quite feasibly have gone for the mile and he would have had a fantastic chance. And they've decided to run him on this surface for the first time over a trip that is not his ideal trip, we don't think. And it's interesting, isn't it? Why has he gone this route?
I think they've got this obsession, haven't they, with the Classic, you know, the stable as a whole. And maybe from a breeding perspective, if he runs a creditable race, then that will enhance his breeding reputation no end, I guess. Whereas if he runs in the turf and got beat on, you know, not the turf, on turf in the mile, and finishes fifth or sixth, and it's a bit like Camelot, who got beat in the St. Ledger, and then they went to the well again in the Ledger, in the Ark, and got beat again. And you look now back at Camelot and you think, oh yeah, he was a good horse, but he nothing out of the ordinary. And I think Gleneagles would fall into that category, despite all his early season brilliance, to get beat at Ascot and then in a mile, you think, well, you know, his reputation would be tarnished. So I guess they are looking upon the Classic as a win-win scenario. You know, nobody expects him to win because they'll just blame it on the surface or the trip. But if he runs well, then there's quite a lot of upside, I suppose.
Yeah.
That'd be possibly the way they're thinking.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But all in all, Frosted for you?
Yeah, he's a risky one. As I said, he's finished behind American Pharoah on three occasions, but I just thought that run in the Travers was, given how they ran him, to be only beaten two lengths by the mighty American Pharoah was a darn good effort. And I can just see, provided they revert back to more patient tactics, which, you know, they have to if they're going to have any hope of winning, then I just think at 12-1 he could be a surprise package.
Okay. What will be your best bet for the Saturday of the Breeders' Cup, then?
My best bet for the Saturday will be Miss France in the filly mare turf. I think Legatissimo is a respected favourite and a deserved favourite, but 11-10 is too short a price when you weigh up the quality of opposition. And Miss France is a real top-notch miler. Yes, has been slightly below her best so far this year, but comes to America on the back of a light campaign. He's trained by an absolute master target trainer in Andre Favre. I've got no doubt that this has been a bit of probably the plan he's had in mind all year. I expect her to improve for the step up in trip. I think there's a lot of upside, and I'd be amazed if she's out the frame. So, yeah, it's 6-1. Miss French is the bet of the meeting.
Very good. Nice one. Thank you very much, Alistair. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy the Breeders' Cup this weekend.
And yourself. Thank you, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.